Well, good morning, family. It's awesome to be here. And firstly, I just want to thank you all for your prayers for me and my family. Obviously, it's been a little bit of a difficult time recently, but we really appreciate you guys praying for us, and we firmly believe that through your prayers and through God's amazing, loving, caring nature, he's just held us together. And I also want to thank you, Kim, for bringing your talk forward a week, you know, while we mourn the loss of my uncle. We're just very appreciative of that. And I did listen online, and it's just so awesome to hear your fire and heart for the lost. And I'm just so encouraged and challenged by it as well, so thank you for that. Today we are continuing in the Fruit of the Spirit series, and today we are looking at the fruit of peace. When I was young, my dad taught me an easy way to remember the fruits of the Spirit. There's three one-syllable fruits, love, joy, peace. There's three two-syllable fruits, patience, kindness, goodness. And there's three three-syllable fruits, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So there you go. For all the young ones there that are like, how on earth am I supposed to remember all this stuff? There's a little tip. So peace is the last of the single-syllable fruits. Tony kicked things off a few weeks ago by talking about love, and he painted an awesome picture of who God is through his love for us. And then we heard from Adrian, and he spoke on joy. One thing that really stuck out to me from your talk, Adrian, is when you talked about the verse in Nehemiah where it says, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." And you also talked a lot about how our joy is not based upon what is happening to us or what is going on, but rather what Christ has already done in us. So that was an awesome message as well. So now we come to peace. I'm sure a lot of you will know that the Hebrew word for peace is shalom. That's something that was one of those ones that, like, you don't need to do lots of study to know that one. But it is a very versatile word. Shalom is, one that's used in lots of different ways. And we can see it in the Bible used to mean welfare, tranquility, wholeness. I think it's even used to be both hello and goodbye. So pretty complicated word. But that means that it's found all throughout Scripture. I think in the King James translation, they sort of make it peace every time. And that's got peace in the Bible 429 times. So it's there quite a bit. But in other translations, They sort of break it down into lots of different words, so it's seen a lot less. Oh, here we go. Action. Awesome. But yeah, the theme of peace is throughout the Word of God, and the idea of where to get it or where it comes from is throughout. But this morning we are talking about the fruits of the Spirit, and so if you'd like to turn with me to Galatians 5, starting at verse 16. I know that We've read this a couple times already, but it is just such an important passage. This whole concept of living by the Spirit and not by the flesh is just so important. So we'll go from 16 to verse 23. And it is up there. Is that too small? I don't know. If you haven't got your Bibles, you can follow along as well. It says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." Now, as has been talked about in previous talks, these attributes being described as fruit is just such a good analogy. Because fruit cannot just be obtained or made, they are grown. You can't build a fruit. It comes from being attached to the stem and being nurtured. It is the result of a long process. While we are a new creation at the point of salvation, we are constantly being molded and grown in God through his sanctification of us and through this process, we will eventually bear these fruit. And one of these fruits is peace, and that's what we're going to focus in on this morning. So I think that as believers, we experience peace in two main ways. And the first one is peace with God. Romans 5, verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Peace with God is an objective peace. It doesn't come from within ourselves, and it's not something that we can obtain ourselves. It is something that we are freely given. It is a gift from God, a gift given by Jesus when he saves a repentant sinner. Later in Romans 5, it talks about Christ died for us even while we were his enemies. And we were all once enemies of God because we have all sinned against him. We know that Jesus paid the penalty for our sins on the cross. And when we repent and trust in him, he is faithful to forgive our sins and to save us. Jesus absorbed the wrath of God that should have been ours. He made peace with God for us, and he gives us that peace in our salvation. This peace is a fact. It's not a feeling. It is free, and it is forever, and it can never be destroyed or even diminished. It is a secure peace with Almighty God of all creation because of Jesus' finished work. This peace is absolutely amazing. But I don't believe it is the peace that Paul is referring to as being a fruit of the Spirit. This peace with God is not something that grows. It is constant. It is the bridge that crosses the great chasm of sin between us and holy God. It is Jesus' victory, and we have the amazing privilege of being a part of it. But no, I believe the peace referred to in Galatians is rather the peace of God. We all know that there will never be worldly peace until the Prince of Peace comes to earth. But there is a peace of God that gives us the ability to live in peace. This peace of God is a subjective peace. We have it when we experience the peace that comes through trusting in Jesus. This peace is also a gift from God. It is given to us freely and generously, and it produces in us a feeling of wellness. But it is something that we must actively pursue in our life by being connected to God through his Holy Spirit. Now, I just want to talk a little bit about peace in the rat race and the busyness of life. So if you can just imagine you're on a plane and the captain's voice comes over the PA system and he says, "Now, there's no cause for alarm, but we felt that you passengers should probably know that for the last 3 hours we've been flying without the benefit of radio, compass, radar, or navigational beam due to the breakdown of some components. This means that we are, in the broad sense of the word, lost. And we're not sure the direction we're heading in, but however, you'll be glad to know we're making really good time." Many people are living their lives like this. They don't know the direction they're going in, they don't know what their end goal is, but they're making awesome time. Life has never been so busy for us all. Most of us are extremely busy in life, and sometimes we can be so busy that it's a detriment of our own spiritual good. Harry Pohl wrote these thought-provoking words about time. He said, we have a 40-hour work week. We travel in cars. We have phones, radios, TVs, books, magazines, newspapers. Our computers have email and internet. We have gadgets and gimmicks for easy living. And somehow we have less time than ever before. We go, go, go. And having gone, we find ourselves worn out and restless. The leisure time provided by a 40-hour work week is squandered in endless going and overindulgent living. It just doesn't make sense. The church is caught in the middle of this whirling, feverish restlessness. A 60-minute service is too long. 2 services on the Lord's Day is too much. The midweek service is almost an impossibility. We rush madly from one meeting to the next and haven't got time to even read the book or talk to God. Maybe Harry Pohl is right. We can become too busy for our own spiritual good. And this robs us of experiencing the peace of God. And I'm definitely guilty of this for sure. Psalm 37, verse 7 says, "Be still before the Lord Psalm 46 verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in all the earth." If we never take time to bow before him in reverence, how can we claim that he has given first place in our life? As believers, our lives are more than just eating, drinking, sleeping, going to school, going to work, watching TV, and having fun. We are spiritual beings. We are more than just body, soul, and spirit, though. We are also Holy Spirit in the sense that he has come to live in us. When people respond to the Lord with an obedient faith, they receive the Holy Spirit as a gift. The Holy Spirit is living in you today if you believe. You have a divine guest living within you. So is there a difference between the person who has the Holy Spirit and the person who does not? Well, I would hope so. There should be. There should be a huge difference in our lives. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't strive or work hard to achieve things, but if we are in Christ, and Christ is in us through the Holy Spirit, then we should be different from the rest of the world. People should see the way that we prioritize our lives, the way that we prioritize things, and wonder how or where our peace comes from in this world that is so consumed with doing things in a rush. We must stay connected to the vine. Take time to bow before your God, and you will feel the peace of God even in the busyness of this world. Now, this one possibly is even harder, but we also, the other area of life where I think that as followers of Christ, we can grow and develop and showing the peace of God is through some of the difficult things we face in life. Everybody goes through tough times in this fallen, sin-filled world. We don't have to look far to see people going through harder things than we can even imagine. There are wars, famines, political turmoil, natural disasters, sickness, grief over losing loved ones, and the list goes on and on. So how are we able to have peace while we see these things all around us, or even we're going through them ourselves? Is it even possible? Well, from a human point of view, no, it's not. The Oxford Dictionary defines peace as a time of no disturbance or a cease in war. Well, I see a world full of disturbance and filled with war after war after war, and it goes on through, it has been going on throughout history, and I don't think it's going to change tomorrow. Oops. In preparation for this talk, I looked a lot at different messages and sermons on peace, and it actually broke my heart to see that the most popular ones were messages saying that if you put your faith in Christ, he will make your life peaceful, that he will take away your struggles and you will live a life without difficulty or despair. And if you are going through trials or tough times, you must not have enough faith or you are being punished by God for sin in your life. And I'm not joking, that was like the top 20 were all talks like this, and that's because that's what people want to hear. But I tell you this morning that that is a false doctrine. We see countless examples in God's word of people who had amazing faith in God, but they still go through turmoil and struggle. Now, there's so many things I could have brought up, but the Lord led me to Psalm 77. And it's a great example of this. So if you'd like to turn there with me, that'd be awesome. Because I'm not going to have it up on the screen this time. Sorry, so you have to. But no, this psalm was written by Asaph in the time of David. And people think it's possibly a transcription of David's words when he was far from home and struggling. However, that's not 100% known. But let's read from verse 1 through to verse 15. It reads, "I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and I would not be comforted. I remembered you, God, and I groaned, I meditated, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart meditated and my spirit asked, will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? Then I thought, to this I will appeal. The years when the Most High stretched out his right hand, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. Your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. With your mighty arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. Pretty heavy stuff. That first half, I don't know if we'll be singing that on a Sunday. It's pretty heavy. But have you ever felt like that yourself? Just completely overwhelmed by life and the hard situations that we often face. Have you ever cried out to God in your distress? Have you ever lost sleep over the hurt that you're feeling? Well, then you can relate to this psalm. But as we read, there is peace even in these times. When we remember the deeds of the Lord, when we consider his works and all his mighty deeds, we can rest in him. He is the God of miracles, and he is holy. So even in the crying out moments of your life, you can have peace knowing who you are crying out to. It is okay to feel sorrow and sadness in situations that hurt us. But when you are walking in the Spirit, there is unshakable peace knowing who we can call out to in the storm. In Matthew 8, we read of the amazing story of Jesus calming the storm when he is on the boat with his disciples. In verse 23, I'll just read it to you. It says, "Then he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, 'Lord, save us. We're going to drown. And he replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. What an amazing miracle. But also, it's an amazing example from our Saviour on what peace looks like in the storm. While the disciples were absolutely freaking out, and I'm sure I would have been too, to be fair, Jesus just slept peacefully. We should expect rough seas in our life. That is the reality of this fallen world. But when they come, will you panic and be anxious? Or will you be still and know that he is God? God may calm the storm, but he may not. But know that he is the master of the storm, and even in our pain, he can redeem it for the good of those who love him. Paul's ministry is also a great example of peace and struggle. Paul was imprisoned at least 3 times that we know of and faced persecution and difficult opposition wherever he went. From the outside, looking at his ministry, it was quite the opposite of peaceful. Does this mean that God wasn't with him? Does this mean that he mustn't have had enough faith? Absolutely not. In Philippians 4, we read these amazing words from Paul while he is really in the thick of it. He was imprisoned and probably in awful conditions and in fear for his life. But he wrote this: "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Awesome verses, but even when in prison, probably in danger of being killed for his ministry, Paul was at peace. Writing to others to encourage them, it really doesn't make sense to the world. It truly is a peace that transcends our own understanding. And so the most important question, I suppose, this morning is, how can we experience this seemingly impossible peace? What is the secret to bearing this spiritual fruit and not fruit of the sinful nature? What is the answer to being able to live by the Spirit and not wavered by the storms of life? How can we make sure that in this war of sin nature and the Holy Spirit, that the winner is the Holy Spirit? Well, the answer is in the verses following the passage that we read this morning from Galatians. It requires a crucifixion of our desires and sinful nature. So in Galatians 5, verse 24 to 25, it reads, so this is the two verses following the fruits of the Spirit part. It says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Paul is saying that in the Christian life, a crucifixion must take place, or must have taken place. He is saying that we should have crucified our sinful nature. We should recognize its sway and its hold over us and hand it over to God to completely destroy it. And then we should follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Our families, our school or work, even our driving, our sport, our neighbours, our TV watching, our thoughts, our attitude towards others, our language, our conduct, our reliability, our honesty. When we fully relinquish all of these things to God, we will have peace that transcends understanding. As we go through our days, we make choice after choice. What will we hear? What will we say? What will we think? What will we do? Where will we go? We all have to choose these different things. We're not just faced with temptations in this, but we're also faced with opportunities. And we must choose to say yes to temptation or no, yes or no to opportunity. That's how life works every single day. And sometimes, as human beings, we choose poorly. Maybe it's because we've got a bad habit that we've developed, so we make a poor choice. Maybe we're being pressured, and so sometimes we choose the easy way out. Maybe we've adopted that little adage that it's easier to ask for forgiveness rather than permission. Maybe we're looking for a source of satisfaction in a way other than God's way, just because we want to be satisfied somehow. Well, when we choose poorly, remember first of all that since we have sinned, that is actually the reason why Jesus died. If we are people who didn't choose poorly and didn't sin, Jesus would not have had to go to the cross. But rather, Jesus died because we are sinners. We need to understand that that's who we are, that's our lot. He died for sin, and therefore we need to confess it, agree with together with him that, yes, I've just sinned. And then when we confess it to him that we have sinned, we renew to him our desire not to do it any longer. Sometimes you might have to make a change. You might have to make a difficult choice to lose a friend or change a schedule or do something tough like that. But the truth is we need to crucify these passions and desires. And if we've sinned and then confessed, we must pick up and move on. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't surrender to the flesh. God is in the business of receiving and restoring. There is no sin so terrible or committed so many times that Jesus says, sorry, my blood didn't cover that. There is such great peace in that fact. Life by the Spirit is not about just making an outward change. Christianity is not about living by slightly different rules and thinking that we're keeping our noses clean. It's about destroying the sin nature and being controlled and guided by God's Holy Spirit within us. My dad used a great analogy once about paint versus stain. I'm sure a lot of you probably know the difference between paint and stain. Paint is like a surface level sort of thing, where a stain is something that soaks deep within. And it just, you know, far, far, far below the surface. So I ask you this morning, what do you want? Do you want a paint job or a stain job? Do you just want a religion that is surface only? Or do you want a relationship with the living Lord that is deep and abiding and leading to bearing the spiritual fruit of peace? Paint or stain, it's your choice. Here we go. Oops. So as I come to the end this morning, I just want to finish by looking at Luke 19, verse 41 to 42. It's talking about Jesus, and it says, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. Some of us are living in turmoil when we just don't have to. Do you want God's peace in your life? Then yield to God's Spirit, to his leading in your life. Why not crucify those sinful desires and can you commit your life to him even right now, whether it's the first time today or the 100th time? Maybe today is about reconnecting to the vine. Our peace is with Jesus. Our peace is Jesus. He is the Prince of Peace. Peace comes when we invite the Lord to come into our heart, and it grows when we give him control over our life. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." That's in John 14, verse 27. Well, that peace is available to everyone today. So please, if you are restless and so busy that you can't find time for God, if you are struggling with hurt or difficult things that you are going through, or if you have never experienced peace with God before, then don't leave here this morning without talking to someone and bringing it before the Lord. I just want to finish. We've already read these verses, but I just want it to stick with you this morning. This is what I really want to soak into your hearts like a stain. Again, it's Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Father God, we are just so thankful that we are even able to have peace with you. Lord, we're so grateful that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. You sent him to die for my sin. That the gap that my sin has caused between my sinful low self and your amazing holiness has been bridged by his sacrifice. And so what an amazing truth that is, God. And I just want to thank you this morning. But God, you love us so much that it goes even beyond that. Lord, you also want us to, even in the struggles of this world and the difficulties that we might face, you want us to have a spirit of peace through that. And so, Lord, you give us your Holy Spirit. And so I just want to thank you so much for that too. Lord, help us this morning to just commit more of our lives to you. Lord, help us to just give our little corners of our lives that we try to keep to ourselves. Lord, take it from us, I pray. Destroy our flesh nature. Destroy our sinful nature. And rather replace it with a spirit of peace, I pray. Father God, we are just so, so grateful for who you are and all that you do for us. And we just want to praise you and thank you and worship you because you're so worthy. So we just pray these things now in the precious and powerful, beautiful and wonderful name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.